Good morning, everybody. Well, notices. I've got a letter here from Tommy and Laverne, who were with us two Sundays ago. Remember talking about the work in Keeney with the World Gospel Mission? Just saying it was lovely to share with us and thanking us for our donation. We're actually going to top that up a bit. So that was from Tommy and Laverne. This morning it's good to welcome Ray Cousins with us again. Looking forward to what he's going to be sharing with us later on. We'll also, of course, be holding the 2 minute silence at 11 o'clock, if I can get my timing right. as it is, of course, Remembrance Sunday. Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I just want to thank you that you are here with us this morning. I think I tend to start that way each time, but Lord, it's just so fantastic to know that you are here with us by your Holy Spirit. That the God of all creation wants to spend time with such as us. And Father, this morning I just want to thank you that you want to spend that time with us in eternity. And so, Father, I just thank you for the life of Stephanie's mum. Father, that she loved you. And that there is that assurance that she is now with you. So thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us this morning. We ask that we would be good listeners to you. Help us to know exactly what it is you're saying to each one of us, so that we can become more like Jesus. Amen. Our reading this morning is in Isaiah 60, which you can find on pages 746 or 748, depending which version of the church Bibles you've got. And Tom is going to bring that to us.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you, the rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar, with their silver and gold. To the honour of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendour. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favour I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that people may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir, and the cypress together, to adorn my sanctuary. And I will glorify the place for my feet. The children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one travelling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Saviour, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will do this swiftly. This is God's word.
There was a promise in that reading. Well, there's several, but one particular promise in that reading: no longer will violence be heard in your land. Now, in context, that's particularly in relation to Israel, but it is what the word tells us to look forward to. When Jesus comes again, he will restore all things. But in the interim, we are very conscious, aren't we, of the wars and strifes that are continuous. And this morning, of course, we remember so many who have died in not only the First and Second World Wars, but in so many conflicts, and many that are continuing around the world today. And so let us just pray for a moment. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I want to just confess our own part as a nation in conflict, war, aggression. Father, mankind has moved away from what you intended us to be, and the result is injustice and violence. Forgive us, Father. And Father, we look forward to that day when Jesus comes again to restore all things, to usher in his reign. And Father, we ask that you would make of us peacemakers, Lord. In our daily relationships, might we bring peace. Father, help us to be the people that you call upon us to be. In Jesus' name and through the strength of your Holy Spirit. Amen. In a moment, Barbara is going to come and lead us in the time of remembrance. You'll probably remember that following the words, "We will remember them," there is the same response. We will all together say, "We will remember them," because we are remembering those that have given their lives in so many different ways, so many different conflicts, from so many different nations. Barbara.
They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, "We gave our tomorrow for your today."
Thank you, Ben.
Good morning. It's an honour to be with you again, a great privilege. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Our topic this morning is the glory of God. And this is a vast subject. The Bible has much to say about the past glory of God, the present glory of God, and the future glory of God. So what is glory? What does this word mean, the glory of God? And in the Hebrew, the word is kavod, which comes from the root kaved, which means heavy. Heavy in the sense that all these things around God brings a sense of a weight, of authority. Like sometimes we talk about being in someone's presence who has a real presence. You've been in the presence of some people and they're like, well, they may not be overbearing, but they have a presence about them. There's other people we say there's not much between their ears. Okay, but we know those people who really have a presence. Well, it's a little bit like that with God. There's a presence to him, but it is undescribable almost. Scholars have struggled to actually describe the glory of God. It's a little bit like when we're coming here this morning. You know, the trees were beautiful with the sunlight in them. But I cannot really, in any few words, describe what that is like. I can describe a chair to you fairly simply, but I cannot really encapsulate the beauty that we've seen this morning. It's too fast. We could take 1,000 pictures and still there would be more to take to try to describe what we've seen. And that's a bit like God. We cannot really do justice to describing his glory. But it is very important. And we're involved in it as his people. For example, if we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse And verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in the past it was a bit of a mystery. There are about 10 mysteries in the New Testament that some of them Paul tries to describe to us, but this is one of them, the mystery of Christ in you. And it is the hope of glory. It's not yet, but there's a hope. Okay. Stephanie was talking about her mum, the hope of glory. She's in glory now. And this is when, in this world, and everything's around us, we're looking forward to a certain hope, a hope of glory. What is this hope of glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it? Well, we go to chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? So what does this mean? Well, it tells us that again in 1 Corinthians 15 about this resurrection body that one day we will receive, those who believe. This is a great chapter on the resurrection. And in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, it says in verse 42, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. That's the believing dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If we go to verse 48, as was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as it is with the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So one day we will actually experience the reality of the glory of God, because we will be like Jesus. It tells us we will be raised up, our bodies will be changed. Mortality will take on immortality. And we will become perfect, like Jesus himself. Now, as we look through the pages of Scripture, down through the ages, there are a number of times when the glory of God appears, and in various forms and in various powers. And there are various individuals who have experienced the glory of God. If we're coming up to near Christmas, so we think of the angels coming to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, these men, shepherds out in the field, suddenly the glory of God appears to them. They never asked for it, but it was a frightening experience, but it came, and it came with a message. And that evening, as they were in the hills looking at their sheep, looking after their sheep, suddenly this host of angels came to them. And this was the message in chapter 2, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And then in verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Okay? So here was just a little time in history when just these few shepherds on a hillside outside Bethlehem, the glory of the Lord appeared. Okay? If we go to further on this chapter, when Jesus was 8 days old, he was taken to the temple and he's presented to Simeon, the priest. And in verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What was Simeon speaking about here? Well, he distinguishes two groups of people here, the Gentiles and the people of Israel. And he talks about light coming to the Gentiles and glory coming to the people of Israel. Well, we can look back in history with the advantage of doing that 2,000 years later, and we can question, well, where's this glory to your people Israel? Because 30, 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was obliterated. AD 135, Hadrian, was it? No, it was another one. But anyway, whoever it was, they totally wiped out Jerusalem. They renamed it Alia Capolino to get rid of everything Jewish. And named the land Syria Palestina. This is where we get the name Palestine from. So where was the glory of Israel? So what was Simeon talking about? Let's go to a couple of verses. One in Habakkuk. Little book's hard to find. In the prophets. Comes after Nahum. And just before Zephaniah. And in Habakkuk, verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Has this happened any time in world history that we read of? I can't find anywhere where this has happened before. We know that the oceans cover about 3/4 of the surface of the earth. And it says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You walk down through Kendall today and ask people about what you know about the glory of God. They think you're queer. They think you need locked up. But it says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11, almost the same words. Verse 9, "They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now this chapter, Isaiah chapter 11, also talks about other amazing things. It talks about the wolf lying down with the lamb. It talks about the lion eating straw with the ox. So obviously something has changed. So this is speaking of a future event, because as yet, there's no evidence of this having happened. You know, today, we remember man's inhumanity to man. And we know that peace was bought at a high price. But as we look around our world today, there's a lot of disquiet about what's going on. There's a lot of fear mongering going on. Fear that some is justified. We look at many democracies in our world today that are no longer stable. We look at our own democracy. We don't know where we're going. And there are many more in Europe in similar vein. So where's this knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling the seas? Well, I believe Isaiah is talking of a future event, and he's talking really of what is known as the millennium age, when Christ will come to rule on earth. So we turn to chapter 60, the chapter that we read this morning, to get some context and think of when is this going to happen and what are the things leading up to this. So the first two verses, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." So this arising of the glory of the Lord is going to come at a time, as it says in verse 2, when darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. There's two darknesses mentioned in this verse, and they're two different words. The first darkness is like a blindness. A blindness of people to see. The second darkness is like a thick, thick darkness. It's the same darkness that happened when the law was given on Mount Sinai. It talks about a thick black cloud hovered over the Mount Sinai. a darkness you can almost feel. So it's talking about a time in this world when there's going to be great darkness. Those of us who have been around a long time, I think generally would agree, things are getting darker. But there's still light. We're not in this darkness yet. But the Bible tells us of a time coming when it's going to be dark. What did Jesus say? Work while it is still day, for night cometh when no one can work. Jesus also said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What were the days of Noah? What were they like? And we read in Genesis 6, you know, Jesus, our God, the Father, looked down, and he was grieved that he had made man, because the intention of man's heart was only evil continually. It was very dark. So somewhere up ahead, we're heading into a very dark time. And as we look around our world, we do question, are we sort of getting on the verge of this, the way things are going? There is great darkness in our world today. We see it morally in our societies all around the world. What has happened in the last 20, 30 years has happened so fast. When people don't even know if they're male or female today, what is that darkness like? This is darkness, really. Really is. And we go back to the first verse of the Bible. It tells us, in the beginning God created. The Creator created. And in the next six days, he divided. He divided all the things he created. And he divided man from woman, male and female. Today we're getting back to paganism, where we say there's no difference. There's no division. We're going back to darkness. And this is where we're heading. So we're heading for a thick darkness where people are blinded and where the world is in a great darkness. But in that darkness comes this glory. Okay? Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now we know we live in the church age, and the words of Simeon, a light for the Gentiles, has been part of this church age. We're here this morning because we have received light. Light from God. Light about sin and repentance and salvation and resurrection. But the vast majority of the world know little about this. As Jesus said, the road to heaven is very narrow, but the road to hell is very wide. And we know how many, there are more, a lot more on the road to hell than there are to heaven. And so the church age, even though there is light for the Gentiles, overall, the world itself, there is still a darkness that is going to increase and increase. And I can't see anywhere in the Bible where it says the church is going to actually get to a stage where it's going to bring so much light that the whole world will know. That is not what the Bible is saying here. It's saying actually we're going to head into a time of great darkness before this glory appears. And this glory has to do really with a nation, the nation of Israel. It says in verse 3, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now, if this was the church, then it doesn't make sense, because later on in this chapter, it says, verse 15, although you have been forsaken and hated with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and joy of all generations. So here he's talking, the whole context of where this chapter is clearly God speaking about the nation of Israel. A nation that he forsook because of their disobedience. And he actually says, I hate your sin. You know, and I've set you apart from me. I'm going back to my place, and I will not return until you acknowledge who I am. So I think the context of this chapter is very clearly about the nation of Israel. And it's talking about when this happens, it is going to bring light to the nations of the whole world in a way that the church has never done. Verse 4, lift up your eyes and look around you, all assembled. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on your arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. Yeah? So when God arises and his glory appears over this nation, it's going to cause the wealth of the seas to come to them. We move on. To you, the riches of all the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, your young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This has never happened in all of history. This is a great future event. But it's keyed into this nation of Israel. Just notice that little phrase there, all bearing gold and incense. The NIV says silver. That is not a good translation. Actually, in the New American Standard, it is actually frankincense. Okay? Where else do we have this where they bring gold and frankincense? Matthew. But what else do they bring in Matthew? They bring myrrh. Myrrh is missing here because he's no longer coming to die. He really has died. He's now coming as king. And frankincense and gold are for two offices. The frankincense was for the ministry of the priesthood. Gold was for the king. And in Zechariah, I think it's chapter 6, we're told that he will sit on his throne and he will be both priest and king. But he will no longer be a suffering servant. He is coming as king. So it's interesting to leave out myrrh in that particular one. Next verse, Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you, the rams of Nebaioth will serve you. Who are they? Well, these were both sons of Ishmael. And Kedar especially is very much linked with the Arabic nations. And you look at our world today, look at the turmoil between the Arabic nations and Israel. But here it is speaking of that day they will serve you, they will be accepted as offerings on my altar. And I will adorn my glorious temple. So the enemies of Israel, the descendants of Ishmael, they will come and they will bring the good of their flocks and their rams and they'll serve them and they'll offer them on the altar in Israel, in Jerusalem. Verse 9 talks about the ships of Tarshish bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God. Tarshish was where Jonah fled to. The scholars aren't quite sure whether that's Crete or Spain. Some think it might even be the shores of Great Britain because there was great trading routes back then, between Britain and the Middle East. We're not quite sure, but possibly. 10 foreigners will rebuild your walls and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. This is amazing. And as I say, I cannot find anywhere in history where this has ever been fulfilled. Verse 12 is quite a somber verse. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. So any nation throughout the earth that will not come and make offering in Israel, in Jerusalem, to the Lord, they will utterly perish. Zechariah 14 also bears this up. It talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says any nation, it's probably any representative nations that do not go up to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, God will withhold rain from that nation. So what happens when you withhold rain from a nation? It perishes. We can't live without water. But this is what Zechariah says, chapter 14. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. And again, today, in Lebanon is one of Israel's enemies, because Hezbollah is really controlling Lebanon. Lebanon is packed with rockets aimed at Israel today. Thousands and thousands and thousands of rockets. And we're seeing, even now, we're seeing just the last 2 weeks, this great protest in Lebanon by the populace against their leaders. And Hezbollah is the main operator in the government in Lebanon. is a proxy of Iran, who has sworn to destroy Israel. But here it says, the glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine and the fir and the cypress together, to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. This is not about the glory of Israel, this is about the glory of God. But Israel is going to be the tool that God will use to bring glory to his name. 14, the sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. We could go on. Time is running out, but time, you know, this is amazing, the glory of the Lord. We've only seen a tiny reflection of it. You know, John writes about, we beheld his glory. But it was only John and Peter and James who actually got going up to the Mount of Transfiguration to see Jesus transformed. I find it interesting, you know, we spend a lot of time at Christmas thinking about the birth of Jesus. But you know that there's actually as much written about the Transfiguration as there is about the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus is only recorded in Luke's Gospel. The Transfiguration is in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And, you know, I think we get the balance out sometimes. When do we celebrate the Transfiguration? But Jesus was glorified. And one day we will be like him. But when we look at this passage in Isaiah, we're actually looking ahead to a time. I think it's at the end of this age, as far as I can see, a time of great darkness, a time of Jacob's trouble, a time when many, many will be slain, but a time when in that darkness will come the glory of God. And a whole world will know who God is. Now, if you ask people in the street today of Kendall, who is God? You get 1,000 answers. Because people aren't sure. When this happens, everyone will know who God is. Because his glory will fill the whole earth. It talks in Jeremiah about the throne of the Lord being in Jerusalem. And really, a lot of this ties into the covenants that God made with this nation. That he would have a son to sit on the throne of David forever. And the throne of David is in Jerusalem. But Isaiah is speaking of a time when this will all be fulfilled. And everyone in the whole earth will know who God is. So as we live in our world today, and we can get down a bit because of what's going on around us, I want to encourage you, you know, when it comes to the deepest darkness, the light will rise. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So there is great hope for this world, but it's still got to go through a very dark period of time. So as we look into our future and we look at what's going on, these are signs, I think, of the coming of the Lord. How soon? Only God knows. Many things may still have to be fulfilled, but certainly it will be fulfilled. And it's interesting here, the last verse, the very last phrase, I am the Lord, in its time I will do this swiftly. Okay? So as all this comes upon the earth, it will happen very quickly. The conclusion will happen quickly. And the Lord will appear in glory, and his feet will stand in the Mount of Olives, and he will become king over the whole earth. And his name, as Zechariah says, the only name. Okay? So be encouraged, and you know, we can look forward to this great time, but also we look forward to the day when we are glorified. You know, whether it be when Jesus comes back, or before, you know, if we die before that, we have this glorified body to look forward to. The hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, think of the words of Isaiah when he seen you high and lifted up. And he said, woe is me, for I have seen the Lord, and I am a man of unclean lips. Father, thank you. We only stand here today because we have an interceder for us. We have someone who has taken away our sin and given us his righteousness. And we thank you so much that we've had a little glimpse of your glory, but we're going to be blown away when we see you as you are. But thank you that this is our inheritance, this is our future. And when this body of dust is swallowed up in death, thank you that we will receive a glorious body that will be like your Son. And we'll live in the light of your glory forevermore. What a privileged people we are. Lord, we thank you again so much for redeeming us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.